nothing be lost. Look at here. We got to understand that when he gives us something, he intends for us to take good care of it. Oh, Lord, have mercy here. He even tells those that he gave those talents to, he says to them, he says, here's the talents. You go and you make usury of it. In other words, you get the interest off of it. And when he came back, the one that hid it, he said, you're wicked and evil because you didn't do what I told you to do. He said, I know you're a man that has judgment, and if I didn't have something to give you, then I know that you would destroy me. Well, he said, because you didn't even try. Because you didn't do anything at all, he said, you'll be cast out into darkness. Amen. And so he says, when they were filled, now this is what gets me, is that they had two fish and five barley loaves. They had some hot water cornbread and some sardines. Amen. And how is it that everybody ate until they couldn't eat no more? That miracle lets us know that if you put it in the master's hand, it's going to always be more than enough. If you put it in the master's hand, it's always going to work out the way that we need it to work out. We can't fight it. We can't do it. We have to let him do it. I wish I had somebody here. He says that when they were filled, and that means that everybody there, 5,000 plus, had got full off of two fish and five barley loaves. It ain't no way that can happen in the natural. It has to be spiritual. It has to be supernatural. It has to be above what's natural. And so when he did that.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministry. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention this morning to 1 Kings chapter 3, and I just want to lift out verse 27 because this entire account of these two women has already been read in your hearing. And I just wanted to lift out some points out of this story today so that we can understand it perhaps just a little better. Now, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 27. When you have it, say amen. Read it. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, this story mostly emphasizes the wisdom of young King Solomon. He's around 20 years old at this point in time that he takes the throne of his father, David. And he is placed in a challenging position. There were many at that young age wondering whether or not he had the wherewithal, that he had the godly ability, the anointing to be the king of Israel at that point and lead them to higher heights. King Solomon was there because he pleased God. And can I tell you, when you please God, God knows how to promote you. Even when man don't think so. And so those there, many wanted to know the wisdom of God. God was pleased with him. God tells him he was pleased with him. And then he turns around very, very soon, almost as in the next day, to show him how pleased he was with the wisdom he gives Solomon. It is suggested that these women perhaps were harlots, they either had a brothel or that they were innkeepers. There's much to do about whether or not they were true members of the oldest profession in the world or not, but what was true was that they were engaged in fornication and they had no husbands. And in the Old Testament, if a woman was pregnant and was not married and had given birth to a child, it was usually from one of the means of being a loose woman or being a woman who was a harlot. And in any case, these two women, the word says, were harlots. It is suggested that their matter had been brought to a lower court, and a judge at a lower court could not make a decision. And this was a perfect opportunity for the new king to show his wisdom. And so it was given them the opportunity, the rare opportunity, especially for women of low esteem, to be brought before the king and to be heard and to bring judgment. And so one of the things that I love about this text, and if you get a chance to go back home and read it and look over it very carefully, there are some interesting things in it, because time will not allow me to deal with all of the intricacies of these verses. There are two verses for sure I want to get to, verse 21 and verse 27 again, because I need you to recognize how this is going to play out in its fullness. But I need you to know, for those who don't know the story, those who didn't listen to the scripture, you need to know that these two women were living in the same house. One delivered a baby 3 days before the other. The other woman, woman number two, delivered her baby a day before or a day later, after the woman who had delivered the first baby 3 days prior. And they both were in the same house with no one else in the house but those two. And in the middle of the night, baby number two died. That was the one that was perhaps only a day or so old, died. And it died because the mother of that baby rolled over and smothered the child. Baby number one, mother was clear about how to take care of the child that she had just gotten 3 days prior to, and she was doting and loving and nursing her child. You don't see all of that with mother number two. And yet, when her child, she rolls over on her child, smothering her child in the middle of the night. She then wakes up and she has the thought, let me switch babies. And so at midnight, that howling witching hour, midnight, she goes over to the other woman and she takes her dead baby and places it upon the chest or the breast of that woman and takes her living baby and brings it next to her. And so in the morning, not late in the morning, but early in the morning, like a good mother would do, she got up to nurse her child. And remember, she had been doing this for 3 days now. So she was accustomed to early morning feedings. And when she got up, she noticed the baby was cold. And so I need you to look again at verse 21. Let's look at verse 21. Read for me right quick.
And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear.
Amen. Now, I want you to see several things about the text. First of all, this woman who knew she had been faithful these 3 days only, knew that her child could not have just died in her breast, laying on it, resting on it. So I need you to see something here, because when she wakes up and sees that her child is dead, no doubt she's you know, mystified at how could this happen, etc. And so she goes and she's, you know, it's early in the morning. The sun has not come up well yet. It's early. But then later in the morning, when the sun has come up, when she was able to really see her child, there are three things I want you to note about this verse, and I'm going to go on and close it. One, she examined her infant. When that child was born, that was her first child, she examined that baby from head to toe, counted every hand, every foot, fingers and toes. She looked that baby over, found marks on the baby, found moles on the baby, saw that baby and knew that baby who had lived in her for 9 months. She seen in this new light, this boy who was birthed from her body, now in her arms, loving him, caring for him. She watched that child so that she knew him intimately. And so knowing her child, as you know the saying goes, a mother knows her child. She knows her child. And I want you to look at the word in verse 21 that said, when she considered. The word considered here means many things, but several of those meanings have to do with one, discernment. She was able to discern that that child was not her child. Distinguish. She was able to distinguish the difference in some other situations concerning her child that was not in this child. And so, first of all, she examined her infant, and she, as a new mother, was able to tell so many wonderful things about this new life that she had given. Two, observe the fact that she examined the imposter. The baby that she had in her breast was not her child. First thing was, when she went to bed, according to the word, the Bible was laying on her side. I want y'all to pay attention. The baby's is laying on her side, not on her chest. She wakes up. How did the baby get from her side to her chest? It's only 3 days old. She was waking up to feed the baby and found the baby lying on her chest, cold. And so she began to examine that baby. She began to look that baby over. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, a real mother sees things that many of us miss. A real mother feels things that the rest of us can't feel. A real mother knows things about that child that cannot be articulated as such. And this woman, when the light came up and she was able to deal with the fact that this boy was not her boy, I don't know, it might have been in the hair, it might have been in the eyes, it might have been, you know, in the color of the skin, it might have been numerous things. But here was the thing, she knew it was not hers. But when she looked over and saw the other child, the living child, she knew that was her child. So not only did she examine her infant, and not only did she examine the imposter, but then thirdly, she examined the imposition she and her child were placed in. This other woman who lived in the house with her when she was asleep and her baby died. And here is why. Because she rolled over and smothered it. Why? Because she wasn't used to feeding it. She wasn't used to caring for it. She wasn't used to making the sacrifices of being able to do the things that a newborn needs to be done. And so she just got comfortable after she had him and forgot she had a child. But then a sinister plan came, and she switched that child with the living mother's child. How cold. How careless, how unconcerned could she be about the welfare of that child when she didn't even care for her own child? The next day, when the woman discovered that, no doubt they went to court. Judge couldn't make a rendering on that decision, so they bring him to Solomon. Solomon now hears the story of these two women. He hears both sides. The one thing he knows he can't do is he can't let the child show him the love for the mother, because there was only one child living and the other child was dead. But what he did know was he could determine the mother's love for the child. And so as he is before her and he is listening to both of their testimonies, both of them are making clear that this living child belongs to me. They argue the point back and forth. He's mine. No, he's mine. No, he's mine. And so Solomon hears them out, and having had enough of each one of them making the claim with no witnesses being able to testify of whose child it really was, God's wisdom in him tells him to call for the executioner to bring a sword. And when he brings that sword, he said, I tell you what, since you two won't tell me the truth, he said, I've come up with a split decision.
Y'all will catch it on your way home.
And what I want you to do is you take one leg and the other one, take another leg, and at
the time I tell you, flip the child over, and I'm going to have that baby cut in half and give each one of you a piece of this baby. The mother cried out, yearning for her child, wanting that child to live, to be safe. She would rather give him up to live than to own him as her child and have him killed. And so she tells the judge, give him to her. Give him to her. Don't do that. Don't slay him. Don't hurt him. He felt the cry of a real mother's love. He felt the pain that this woman had for her child. And when he said that and knew that the real mother would show herself in this situation, why? Because there are situations in life that happen that brings out things in a real mother that won't bother nobody else. And the real mother was so moved by this situation that she'd rather give him up and still see him grow up than to hold on to the fact that that's my child and have him split in half and have two dead babies on their hand. And so the other woman said, no, that's a good idea. Cut him in half, and we'll both take a piece of him. Now, what mother do you know would say, cut my child in half and give me a half and give the other woman a half? And that wisdom of God through Solomon made Solomon say, give her the living child. Give her the living child. No, sir. No. Cut him in half and give us both a piece. Why? Because her son was already dead. She didn't want the one she had. She couldn't take care of the one she had. And Solomon, even in his wisdom, even if it weren't number one's child, he would still do better by that child, giving that child to number one, than number two, who wanted to kill him with a sword. And my brothers and sisters, there are so many wonderful things that God brings out in his word about the love of a mother that gives us the understanding that a mother's heart and a mother's love is so close to God's heart. God shares and shows us and demonstrates his most intimate side through mothers. And I'm grateful to God to know that God loves us so much that he gave and blessed us with mothers. If you today still have your mother with you today on this side of glory, you ought to give God some real praise in his house. No, maybe your mother didn't have to do the situation like this mother did, but I can promise you there were situations in life where she had to make some serious, serious decisions, and some of them could have meant even her own life. But she loved you enough to make sure. How many times have I heard mothers, even in labor and pain, and said to the doctor, if it comes down to me or the baby, let the baby live. that kind of love of a mother. There are mothers when fathers have walked out and there is no other help. Mothers have been mothers and fathers right there struggling and straining to take care of that child, to minister, to be there, etc. And I'm just saying, it's such a privilege to know that God has filled the word with the concern that comes only from the love of a mother. Not that anything or anybody could truly duplicate that love, because God made mothers special. He made them special. So to God be the glory for the mothers who have taken responsibility for the role that He has given them. Give the Lord a hand of praise today.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on His promise, understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say,
wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength,
they shall.